Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That is our faith. That is the sum total of our faith. That is the centerpiece of our faith. Jesus. Hallelujah. And him crucified. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to talk to you about pleading the blood of Jesus today for just a little while. I believe in pleading the blood of Jesus, not because there's a scripture that says plead the blood of Jesus, but because the scriptures taken together in the New Testament bring forth and connotates that we have the authority and the responsibility to utilize what the blood of Jesus has accomplished for us and to speak it forth, to speak it forth. Now, I don't believe in the name it, claim it type of speaking it forth. I believe your words can certainly create depression. If you talk defeat all the time, you're going to, push yourself further down into the hole. Amen. I do believe there's power in words in that respect. But when we say what he said, when we begin to say what he said, because he said it and we believe it, and we give voice to that. You know, the scripture is very, very clear, amen, that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. But it's not complete yet. It's not complete. You can't be a secret Christian, receive Christ in your heart, and never publicly confess him. It's impossible to do that. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father and his angels. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you. I can't confess you as your high priest to the Father unless you confess me to men. Is that the scripture? Can't be a secret agent Christian then, can you? You can't be undercover for God. He's in my heart, but I don't want anyone to know that. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. He was very bold, and I understand that we're all different in here. I was timid, believe it or not, very timid, backward. Got sick at my stomach at the thought of standing before a high school class. Mike still gets that, but he takes Tums. Amen. He's a teacher. That's what I'm saying. But it terrified me to stand before people. I went to Washington, D.C. as a school safety patrol. I crossed people. I never arrested anyone for not letting me cross them. I never turned anyone into the principal. So one year, instead of the teachers deciding who was the best candidate to go to Washington, D.C., there was a trip and for all the safety patrol people that crossed them at the crossing places, and I was one of them, wore a little badge and a little white strap. Say, hey, somebody's grinning. Is there any safety people in here? Safety patrol, safety patrol, safety patrol. Yeah, you probably nailed them, didn't you? You took them right straight to the office, said they... I didn't nail anyone. Teachers usually pick them with the principal included, but you know what happened? They turned it over to the students this year. And the one that never took them to the office for anything or turned them in for anything, it was me. Amen. So I got to go to Washington, D.C. I had a wonderful time. I was honored, privileged, got back. And the first thing they wanted me to do is at the PTA meeting. The PTA meeting, when the parents and teachers got together, and they used to get together because they were all interested in bringing the children up and all of that. And they wanted me to stand and give a report of what I experienced in Washington, D.C. And I got sick. I didn't have to fake it because I didn't want to be there. I got physically sick at the prospect of standing up and talking before those people. Amen. So I know that there are timid people that are not really good at just being bold for Jesus. But every person that receives Christ, you can't hide that. You can't keep it a secret. And the best way to overcome if you don't, is to let it be known real quick, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm a Christian. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. All right. The Bible said, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 13:5 gives you an idea of how you can confess the word even if you don't know the Bible enough to quote scripture explicitly. Hebrews 13:5 says, he has said, oh, by the way, let me go back to profession a minute. That word profession means confession in the Greek. And it literally means to say the same thing as another. And in this case, it's God himself. It's God's word itself. We need more Christians that will say what God has said. Amen. And not what we feel, and not what others say, but what God has said. Amen. Who hath believed our report? Hallelujah. And to whom, therefore we have believed, the New Testament said, therefore we have believed. We have believed, therefore have we spoken. Therefore have we spoken. It's not the power of your word. It's the power of his word in your mouth. Let me submit something to you. This is not to put you in charge. It's to let faith be expressed in a way that God can honor it and confirm his own word. He can't confirm this mealy mouth, I'm nobody, I'm nothing attitude in the Church of Jesus Christ. People have taken it to extreme. I refuse not to preach it just because someone may try to put me in that camp. You know me. I'm not in that camp. I don't call the shots. God does. The shield of faith is not your faith. It's your faith in his faithfulness. Which is your faith, but it's not a force within you. It's a Father that is within you and above you and for you. Listen to me carefully. It's real important that we get this right, because there are people out thinking that they can create with their words wealth. I don't know why in the world they send you letters if they can do it with their words. There are people that believe they can command angels to bring them wealth. Well, don't send me a letter then. For heaven's sakes, let the angels do it. You don't need me for nothing. You can create your wealth with your words, and angels are going to just, I don't know, plant a money tree in your backyard. No, it ain't going to happen that way. And it doesn't work that way. And that kind of power is not in your mouth. But it is within your mouth and my mouth to express our faith in the integrity of his word by saying the same thing God says about any situation that we may be facing. Amen?
Amen.
By thy words, thou shalt be justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Can you say, man? With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's why I try to get people to acknowledge when Christ saves them. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it immediately. Don't wait and see about anything. Acknowledge it. When my mother-in-law got saved, she had a smoking habit that just had her. That, by the way, habit means have you. She didn't feel like she could be a full-blown Christian until she kicked the smoking habit. I told her, I said, what you need is to confess that you're a full-blown Christian so God can help you kick the smoking habit. You don't believe he's there to help you. You don't believe you can because you don't believe he's with you and will help you do this. You're a Christian because of the blood of Jesus, not because you quit smoking first. But if you want to get rid of that habit and enhance your testimony and keep your body healthy, that is the temple of the Lord. And you know, it took her about 3 weeks before she finally realized. Now, I remember we were living out in Dover, in a mobile home because that we sold it and the land was the last thing we had, a little mobile home in Dover. Dover, oh my goodness, it's sugar sand property in Dover. I dug my own garbage pits because we couldn't afford garbage service. I dug big holes in the back. I don't know. You know what? A church bought the land. If they ever expand, they're in for a big surprise when they start breaking ground for the new church. It's a Spanish church because they're going to find a whole mess. They're going to find about 3 years of our garbage back there before God give us something better. Praise God. But we were happy. We held church services, Sean, in lawn chairs in front of that trailer. Hallelujah. God was good to us. I think God sanctified the place. That's why they built a church on it when we left. People bought it, just built a church on it. Hallelujah. Spanish-speaking church in Dover. I don't know where I was going with all of that, but I just want you to know where we're coming from. I appreciate everything I get now. I don't have to have crystal chandeliers. I'm glad to have light bulbs. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't need gold plumbing fixtures. I'm just happy to have an indoor bathroom. Because when I grew up, we had an outdoor place when I was growing up back in the day. Anybody know what an outhouse is? Okay, I just want you to know if you knew. I didn't ask if you had one. Praise God. I just want to know if you knew. Hallelujah. Listen, people are talking about their words having power vested in them. It's not my word that has the power. But when I confess God's word, power is released. With the heart, man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Can you say amen? So the Bible said to hold fast your profession, your confession, to say the same thing that another has said. And in that case, in that context, it's saying what God has said concerning you and your salvation. Hold that fast. Amen. That means, listen, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, don't let his word depart from your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart, your eyes. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your mouth as well. Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, oh God. Do you see the principle running from the old covenant right into the new? Let the meditation of my heart, with the heart man believeth, and the words of my mouth, let the words of your mouth line up with the faith that's in your heart. And hold fast, hold firm your confession of faith without wavering. Why? Why can we say it with such confidence? Because he is faithful that promised. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. He said, in fact, I'm such a stickler, not one jot or one tittle is going to fail. Not only the thought and the sentence and the promise, but even in the writing, not one comma, one dot will fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hath he not said it? And shall he not do it? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. What has he said? That's why Bible study is so important. To find out what he said. Amen. You can't say what he said until you know what he said. And you need to get so full of what he said, when you go to say something that doesn't line up with what he said, you immediately stop and say, I'm not going to say that. Let no corrupt communication proceed. And we think of cuss words when we hit our thumb or some nonsense like, no, this is way beyond that. This is way beyond that. This is way beyond that. We have believed, the apostle said, therefore have we spoken. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. This is so important. When we plead the blood of Jesus, and when we have to speak it. We have to speak it. We have to speak it. There's so much fear in the world and so much fear in the church today. And there's so little faith. How do you know, brother? Because whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, What happens? What happens? Receive. The gauge of faith is prayers answered. What we're receiving in answer to prayer. I've got some prayers that are outstanding that have been out there for a long time. I have not received an immediate answer. But I believe, Sister Dale, that that is mine before I ever see it. As long as it takes, I claim it. I believe it. Amen. I'm not in wait and see mode. Because if God said it, here's the thing we usually do, and we need to quit it. It's a nice little formula. It's real neat. It's not fully biblical, so I want to give you the full biblical right formula today. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, 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 no. I've used it too, but you've got to get a little deeper in this thing. I want victory. I don't want a little cliche that doesn't work. I want victory. I want it to be based squarely on God's word because He watches over it to make sure it comes to pass. Has He not said it? Listen, God gets His word in the earth. How does He do it? I will do nothing in this earth until I reveal it to my servants, the prophets. Before I do it, they're going to speak it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has He done anything that He hasn't revealed to the prophets? No, they've spoken it. When Jesus came, the prophets have already spoken. And God took that word that they spoke. In fact, Jesus was the word made flesh, manifest. Can you say amen? Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Hallelujah. Listen to this carefully. You may not be able to quote Scripture verbatim, but if you have studied Scripture enough to know what He said, you can say what He said without quoting it verbatim, and God will honor it because He knows the essence of what He said is in your heart and you believe it. I want to show you how this works. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and say, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I know it's in there. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say it because God said it. I can't give you chapter and verse. I can't quote it verbatim, but I know it's in there and I know He said it. So I'm going to boldly say what He said. Hebrews 13:5 is how this works. Listen, because I've known people that could quote the Bible, but they didn't have faith. They didn't even have saving faith, but they could quote Scripture. I've met people with a photographic memory. I don't have one. I don't have one of those. I have a wife. What was that person's name? Where did I leave my keys? My wife's standard answer is, well, where did you put them? She said, if I knew where I put them, I'd go get them. I mean, that's why I married you. To find the stuff that I lose and help me remember the things that I forget. What's the Holy Spirit for anyway? All these people that's got it all together know is for the rest of us. When He comes, He'll bring to your remembrance. He'll bring to your remembrance. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said unto you. Not just so you'll know what He said, but so you can say what He said. Amen? Hebrews 13:5. He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you believe that, the essence of that is in your heart. You've got it in your heart, not just your head now. So that we might boldly say, what? The Lord is my helper. Did you quote the Scripture verbatim? Or the spirit of it and the essence of that truth? The essence of that truth? He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Well, where's the chapter and verse for it? Well, there's really a lot for the Lord is my helper. But if you just know the one, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can blurt out in the face of the devil that's telling you God has forsaken you and God is not with you and God is not going to pull you through and God is not going to get you through this and I'm going to overcome you. You can say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. I will not fear what man can do unto me. God will honor it because it's His word. But it's not just His word in your heart. It's His word in your mouth. Can you? A lot of great preachers couldn't read. They would have their wife come up or some brother in the church and read the scripture. But they preached the scripture. Praise God. Enough of it that people got saved. So we need to understand in our head, but we need to get it in our heart. And we need to get it from our heart to our mouth. Can you say amen? Hold fast your profession, your confession of faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Can you say amen? I have people all the time going into great length. They remember every single word that the doctor said. Every word. Even the big words. And sometimes doctors use big words. Hard to read and hard to say. Man went to a doctor one time because his wife couldn't get him to go to work and couldn't get him to do anything around the house. And he said, well, honey, I'm just wore out all the time. I just don't have no strength. I have no energy. She's having to do it all. She's doing it all by herself. And the only reason he conceded to go to a doctor, she threatened to leave him if he didn't get out and help her. Said, if you ain't going to go to work, at least do the dishes so I don't have that when I get home. He said, well, I'm too tired. I just can't do anything. So she said, then I made you an appointment with the doctor to find out what's wrong with you because I've got to have your help. She sent him to the doctor. He didn't like doctors in particular. He walked in the doctor's office. They gave him a barrage of tests, told him to come back in a week. They'd have the result of all the tests. So when he walked back in to get the result of all the tests, he walked back in. He said, Doc, he said, I don't want you to talk to me in all that highfalutin doctor talk. I don't want you to use words that I can't understand. I want you to just tell me plain out what my problem is. And the doctor shook his head and he said, well, after looking at all these tests and listening to your history, he said, sir, you're just plain lazy. He looked back at him and said, now give it to me in doctor terms so I can go tell my wife. There are things in here. I heard a guy preaching the other day, and he's preaching truth. Preaching without the anointing, his target is the head. By the way, with no anointing, the target has to be the head. Because the word can't get in your heart without the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's got to come through the anointing of God. That's why Satan hates anointed preaching. That's why God used simple people to win souls that were not great theological scholars. They didn't. And some people just go to the Bible to... Yeah, and some people are always looking for something beyond, because fundamental truth is not enough anymore. We want something bigger, something better. We want to appear smarter if you want to know the truth. And there are people who want to act smarter as they're preaching. They want to be a smart aleck. They want you to know how much they know, not who they know. And it's the people who know their God that shall be strong and do the exploits. Don't take your dog down there to get him prayed for. Because there's no faith. There's head knowledge. The pursuit of higher knowledge. There's all kinds of theological terms that can be used to communicate to you today. But Jesus, how did He communicate before the Holy Spirit was given? Parables. Simple but spiritually significant parables. Word stories. A sower went forth to sow in an agricultural environment where the main money was raised through. Listen, there are a lot of you seeking more head knowledge, and it's holding back revival because God would like to start a fire in your heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God would like you to start confessing what He said over your family. God would like you to plead the blood of His Son over your circumstance. God would like to see, amen, the devil on the run, and you to see the backside of Satan for a change. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. God would like to see a fire burning deep in your heart because His word has got from your head to His heart and now it's coming out your mouth and He's going to confirm it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what God wants to see. There's a guy came on TV and he had on this big plan for healing. You buy this. Of course, you got to buy something. There's always something to sell. Anytime something is attached to what Jesus has purchased at the cross, it is suspect. Oh, this is new. This is different. Wait till you hear this. Don't want to hear it. At the end of the broadcast, something is costing you. Something that you have to purchase that is being used as leverage to get this, to get healed. Amen. My Bible said it was His stripes that bought that. Right. Not His stripes and this kit. Not His stripes and this book. Not His stripes and that handkerchief. Not His stripes and this. His stripes and that. It was His blood. And when we plead the blood of Jesus, amen, when we plead the blood of Jesus, when we plead the blood of Jesus, we proclaim that His shed blood has purchased, hallelujah, our victory. And nothing needs to be added. You were not redeemed or healed or delivered or anything else. You were not redeemed with silver or gold after the tradition of your fathers. Amen. You couldn't do it. There are religions that say you can pay a priest back before they learned better. That you could pay a priest to pray your loved one out of purgatory, this in-between place that does not exist biblically. But he sure did pour money into one of the richest churches in the world. And the guilt trip was, your loved one has died. They're not in heaven. But if you will pay the priest, they will enough to pray them out of purgatory, this in-between place, so that they can go to heaven and not stay down there in that place of semi-torment. You understand when you add something to what Christ has done, what it becomes? It becomes a tyrannical, self-serving religious system. And it's not just in old Roman Catholicism, it's in Protestantism today. There are evangelists on television that are wonderful. There are evangelists on television that are flat-out crooks. And it's no marvel to me that they're on there. What is a marvel to me that so many people carrying Bibles and profess to be Christians keep them on there by sending in all that money? That is an amazing thing to me. That's why we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need it, amen, in our heart, not just our head. We need it so settled that if we can't quote it, we know it. Amen. When something is contrary to it, a flag goes up. A flag goes up. If you're going to talk about healing, don't you sell me one thing at the end of that sermon. Don't sell me something. Don't. No. Ask for offerings to preach the cross and save the lost and get Jesus to the world. But when you talk about what His blood has purchased at the cross, do not offer me this or that. I don't want a super salesman trying to hard sell me something. I want a preacher that will lift up Jesus Christ and tell me what the Bible says. Because the moment money is exchanged for healing or help from God. The moment it is a monetary, material thing, then we're buying. Remember the man that came, Simon Bar-Jesus? He wanted more power. He was getting it from the occult. He realized that Christians had power too. And he wanted the power. He came to the apostles and wanted the power to lay hands on people that they might receive the Holy Ghost. He thought it was just the same as the occult. Some spiritual working. And he didn't attribute it to God or devil. He didn't care if it came from God or the devil. Just give it to me so I can sell it for a price. Paul turned around and said, "Thy money perish with thee." You're offering me money for what Jesus paid for at the cross. Thy money perish with thee. The Bible in 1 Peter spoke of people that would come and use the term merchandise in the actual Greek. And they will make merchandise of you. They see you as dollar signs. They don't see you as souls destined for heaven or hell. They see dollar signs when they see an audience. The more people in the audience, the more money in the offering. And who do they sway? Unstable souls. Who are unstable souls? Those that are driven by emotion and don't know the Word of God. They just flat out don't know it. But if they like a man's personality, if they like a woman's persuasiveness, if they believe that that person is highly anointed, the anointed, when the anointing trumps truth, when we think if someone's anointed, they can't speak wrong. They don't need to be checked out. They don't need to be held responsible and accountable. They don't need to verify in Scripture every word that they're saying. Can you say amen? Then we are going to be made merchandise of. We're going to be led astray. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. This is important today. There are so many Christians that have been hoodwinked, hornswoggled, and there could not be this misrepresentation of Christianity that is on television today in many circles, because it's such a powerful device and such a powerful influence. We wouldn't have all the criticism that is raining down on us today if Christians wouldn't buy into the lies. Amen, brother. If Christians would grow up and quit running around for someone to give them a word from the Lord in prophecy, and get in a Bible study and let someone give them the word of the Lord in the Bible. I've seen people that would stand in long lines prophesied over. I sat down in Hardee's one Sunday afternoon to have me some. It's a big chicken sandwich. Most chicken sandwiches are little. This is a big one. This is worth the money. I get a chicken sandwich. I was sitting there, and the guy had come to our church. He sat back in the back, and he was dressed, you know, like he could be a minister or maybe not. But anyway, he was dressed well, had on a nice suit. And so he came over to the table. He said, "I was in your service today." And first thing he did was really tell me how great I was. And I know I'm not that great. So I got used to being buttered up when we first started raising our children. Near the church in Silver Springs, there was a Kmart. I'd go into Kmart to get something I needed for the church, and you know, I'd drag in Matthew with me. He's down there, you know, he's 7 years old. He'd been dragging through, and he knew exactly where the toy, when you go in this way, the toy department is that way. And I'd feel him leaning that way. And I'm kind of dragging him now. He's leaning that way. Leaning that way. And while he's leaning that way, he's saying, "Daddy, I'm so glad you brought me with you." "Daddy, you're the best daddy in the whole world." I thought he's pouring it on. He is pouring it on. And I just stopped because he's pulling now that way to the toy aisle. And I said, "Son, we haven't got paid yet." I said, "Daddy ain't got no money." And he looked up just as innocent. He said, "Well, write a check." You don't need money. Just write checks. Hey, what do you need money for? And so when I start getting too buttered up, I appreciate compliments. I'm just human being. I like to know that I'm being effective for Christ, and I like feedback. But when someone butters me up too much, I say, they want something. Something is coming. Oh, to hear him talk, I was Billy Graham and Oral Roberts rolled up into one. And I know that I'm neither. Amen. I'm me for Jesus. So, but God uses me for Jesus. And I want to stay me for Jesus. Hallelujah. But he said, God has given me. And see, in many Pentecostal circles, he would be welcomed with open arms. God has given me the gift of, and listen, dreams can be interpreted. And God sometimes will give someone the interpretation of a dream that he has given. But when your entire ministry is based on interpreting dreams, then that's not biblical. There's no such ministry in the Bible. There are ministers who have done that. But when that, he said, "God, that's my ministry." That means I stand up front and everybody that's had a dream this week lines up and they all come and I tell them what the interpretation is. That, no. No, you're preying on people's unbiblical psyche. Amen. You are. We had a guy come. They called him the silver-haired prophet. I guess it's one of the byproducts, and we got one sitting right here. But he had long evangelist hair, big bouffant. And he was up in years, and he was very dignified, and they called him that he had a reputation of prophesying over people. And he was the silver-haired prophet, and he was coming to our church. And he came. Pastor welcomed him because he's got a reputation. He's so close to God, and God speaks through him to us. And he's not using the word or preaching the cross. He's not even talking a lot about Jesus, but he's giving a whole lot of stuff to people waiting in the line to hear what the Lord has to say to them. They wouldn't come to a Bible study. Same people wouldn't take the time to sit down and get in the book. But they wanted to circumvent that, which matures you, grows you up, and causes you to be able to discern. Because as you begin to mature in the Word, you begin to mature spiritually. Amen. And the Bible said strong meat belongs to them that are... First it says, listen to this. This is so important. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. See, I come from Pentecostal background. I know all about it. And I'm still Pentecostal from my head to the tip of my toes. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe prophecy is for today. I believe in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I simply believe the Holy Spirit never sat down. I believe He's still active in our world today. Amen. But I believe that we need, in the midst of all of this, we need a foundation in the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And when you grow, that you graduate. Everybody say, when you grow, you graduate. When you grow, you graduate. Paul went to some people that were drinking the milk, but they never graduated to the meat. And he said, when you should be out teaching others, when you should be out helping me win souls, when you should be out sharing Christ, when you should be bold in your faith and strong in your witness, You still have need that someone teach you what are the first principles of the oracles of God. Amen. Not laying again, he said, the foundation of repentance from dead works. We don't need to call people to repent of their sins in every service. If we do, it means that everybody's filled with sin. There's got to be a place of victory where you're not coming to be forgiven sin in every service. Amen. There's a graduation. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I what? Here's the mouth again. Here we go. I spoke as a child. But when I graduated, when I grew up, I don't mean growing up. Me and we've arrived where we don't keep going. It means we're no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Can you say amen? And we're able to receive something that Paul, the unadulterated truth of God's word, strong meat belongs to... Oh, and when do we get capable of... Listen, the Holy Spirit has now been given. And Jesus said, when He comes, I'm not going to tell you one more word story. I won't speak to you in Proverbs anymore when He comes. For He will take the things of God and He Himself will show it unto you. And did you know when the Holy Spirit was given, you won't find another word story in the New Testament. Amen? Because when He, the Spirit of truth, not the liver shiver giver, can you say amen, the Spirit of truth, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. Well, where is He going to guide you? Sanctify them through Thy word. For Thy word is truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, when you know the truth, you can't unknow it. So, I don't gauge people by their anointing, but by lining up with God's word. I don't know about their experiences. That's subjective. I don't know what they experienced. God showed me, God told me, don't carry weight with me. It may carry weight with you if God told you something, but I don't know if you heard Him clear or not. I've seen a lot of people that said that and did despite what the Word teaches. Can you say amen? And they were shipwrecked. And they were shipwrecked. And they were shipwrecked. So I'm not interested. I care. Don't get me wrong. But if you had a vision this week, it's your vision. I don't have to confirm it. I don't say it didn't happen or it did happen. But I know one thing. If it don't line up with the Word of God, God didn't give it to you. It didn't come from Him. Can you say amen? That's important to get down on the inside of you. So the silver-haired prophet came to our church. So they let him speak on Sunday morning. He was going to begin his meetings on Sunday night. And I was growing in the Lord and beginning to graduate. I knew enough of the Bible to know when something was that far off. So here's what he said. Because he knew there would be people with hidden sins, things they didn't want discovered. And see, if a genuine prophet was there. One thing about the prophets of old, they didn't cut no corners to get you. Come on, they told it. They told it flat out truth. That's why it's part of our foundation as Christians. The faith is built upon the apostles and the prophets, old and new covenant, with Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, the stone the builders rejected. The same has become the chief of the corner. But you're not have a balanced Christian life until you have the old and the new in the right balance. Can you say amen? Some people will not even teach out of the old covenant. Say, I only teach out of the new. The faith is not built just on the apostles, but on the apostles and the prophets. And when Jesus was questioned about what He was saying, He said, if you don't believe Me, believe the prophets. If I'm not saying what they have prophesied, what they have already, then you don't have to listen to Me. But if they said it, you ought to listen to Me. Can you say amen? Folks, I do not follow personalities. I follow a person. And it's Jesus. And I'll follow a man or a woman if they're following Jesus. And they're following him closely. Well, how do you know if they're following Jesus? Amen. Well, you got a Bible. Amen. Everything he said is in there. And he said, he talked about taking up your cross and following him. And he told us as preachers to not just go and get followers of us, but make disciples unto him out of all nations. And a disciple is not just knowing in the scripture. A disciple is not just a learner. He's not just knowing what his teacher knows. He's becoming what his teacher is. Hallelujah. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestined to be conformed to the spitting image of his son. I put the spitting in. The actual word. That's a good one right there. It's a chance for you to just, because he sits on the front row and he says, I'll say. To the express image of Jesus. So God wants you to be like his son. And that transformation is going to come when your mind is renewed. By what? What renews the mind? The Word of God. And the Holy Spirit working with the Word of God. And be no more conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Your spirit has already been regenerated, but the mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working in tandem together. The Spirit of truth guiding you into truth according to the Word of God. Can you say amen? Man came to our house and told us, or actually, two ladies come and told us that the economy was going to fail. My father-in-law was there. They spoke in tongues, told us the economy is going to fail within 2 months. But a prophet had prophesied to them, and now they were going to prophesy to us, that we needed to go to Alabama, where this prophet was beginning a group of people that were going to survive the economic failure. And you're to take canned up as much food as you can. I don't know why God chose Alabama to be the place, but you know, Alabama's a nice place if you're not a stranger. I went there one time to do a funeral, and everybody looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" And it was a white church too, and they still looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" I don't know. I don't know where their background was. That was years ago. It was a tough funeral. It was a tough town. I won't tell you where in Alabama, but I wasn't welcomed with open arms. Anyway, moved to Alabama. They had canned a bunch of tomatoes. They were going to take tomatoes, bunch of canned tomatoes, going to survive the apocalypse in Alabama. They had went and bought camping equipment. Remember when Grant's, a store named W.T. Grant? She worked for Grant's, or anyway, somehow or another, they ordered a bunch of camping equipment, had no money to pay for it, bought it on credit, because when the economy fails, can't nobody pay for nothing. It's going to be chaos. We don't owe Grant's nothing in about 2 months. So they took off with a bunch of camping equipment and canned tomatoes, headed for some prophet preaching out in Alabama. Prophesied us that you are to go with us. We had went to church with these folks, sat in Sunday school with these folks. They were good-hearted people, but crazier than a bedbug. Can you say amen? That's crazy talk. If you read your Bible, it was crazy. But they were not interested in getting an overall understanding of Scripture, really. All they wanted was someone to prophesy of. They'd be out of church because somebody was over here prophesying over everybody. So they wouldn't come to Sunday school. Pentecostal churches, the Sunday school department's not large. There used to be 5 people in the pastor's teaching class. 5 people. There used to be a little over 100 at the Holy Church of God in our morning service. Because you may get called up front, you may come up front, you may be prophesied over, God's power may... That was all legitimate. That's in the Bible. But not at the expense of learning God's Word and growing up. Church never became stable because no one grew up. And we thought we were spiritual. Pamela and I heard about this guy somewhere, and he came with some kind of special something, and half the people of our church was going over there. So naturally, we said, we better go over there and see what's going on. We can miss Sunday night and go see what's going on, what's happening. We're hungry for God. I got over there, and again, it was off. But these people that had been in church longer than us, they were there. We sat down by people from our church that was there. And they felt guilty about being there, leaving their church service. They looked over to us and says, you know, and we were young looking for leadership and example, and this is what we were getting until we got in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Till we got in the Word of God. Amen. Till we got in the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we were able to try the spirits, because until you know the Word, you can't try the spirits. Amen. Can you say amen? If an angel do what? No marvel if Satan be transformed as what? An angel of light. And his own ministers, not as demons, but as ministers of righteousness. And how are you going to know? Listen, when they open their mouth and begin to speak, if it doesn't line up with God's word. The Bible said, even if an angel appeared, and he's able to take on that persona and project that image, even if an angel of light appears unto you and brings you any other gospel, let him be anathema. Amen. Say, be gone. God's curse is on you. You're going to tell an angel to hit the road? Yes, sir, if you know the Word of God. And you're not going to flinch. And you're not going to blink. Because you know the Word of God and you know it's not of God. Hallelujah. You know the reason we don't take each other to court? Because when we get to heaven, we're going to judge angels. We need to be able to work it out. Hallelujah. Let him that steal, steal no more. We ought not have to call the popo in God's house. You ought to bring it back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's called growing up. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses, something happens as the Holy Spirit takes the Word and puts it in your heart. You are able, by virtue of growing up, what starts the process? Desiring the sincere milk, but graduating to the meat. Hallelujah. You are able to discern good and evil. You think, boy, that is so simple. The angel of light is good. The devil with the horns and the pitchfork over there in the red suit, he bad. I got it. I know all about that. Well, what happens when the devil transforms himself into an angel of light? And you don't see the devil over there and the angel, and it's a clear choice. You got to know something else. Well, Brother Venable, God speaks to me. He tells me everything. He told me. Listen, if he didn't tell you in the Bible, it's subjective. He may have, he may not. I don't know. I can't say. But I know one thing. I know a lady in our church dumped her husband because he wasn't spiritual enough for her. And God called her to go out in evangelism. And he would be like an anchor dragging on her. So she prayed about it. And since she's so close to God and prophesying over everybody, God told her to dump him without biblical grounds. And God told her to marry him because he was on the same spiritual level as her. And all that is no, 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 no. We got people standing in pulpits today that are biblically disqualified to be there. You can't qualify them in Scripture. But the people embrace them and want them. It makes you feel better in the pew when there's just as much sin in the pulpit And God is using him and God is using her so I can sin and be used of God. And the stops are out. There are qualifications to stand behind that desk. You say, but God has forgiven her. I'm not talking about their forgiveness. I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about standing behind the desk. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Not being a lord over God's heritage, but here it is. This is the higher responsibility, being an example to the flock. I'm expected to live this. I'm expected to flesh it out. I'm expected to walk it out. That is the responsibility of leadership. Can you say, man, it's not about anointed preaching. It's living right, plain, and simple. And that don't mean sinless perfection. But if I am in a bar in Ebo City with a woman on Saturday night, I hope you wouldn't love me enough to show up Sunday morning. For the sake of your soul. Amen. So when the silver-haired prophet said, because he knew some people might not come back because they might have sin revealed. Well, of course, if he's a real prophet, he'll nail you. Ain't no doubt about it. John was a true prophet of God. Keith Green said, if you're going to be a prophet for God, you better pledge your head to heaven. They wanted his head. Why? Because he told him the truth about his sin. Told her the truth about their sin. And she got the authorization for his head to be cut off. For what? For telling the truth. And you think they won't go after you today for telling the truth? You are sadly mistaken. And it won't be just from the world. To be right up in the church on Sunday morning. Man loves your soul, he'll tell you the truth. Amen. I said if a man loves your soul, he'll tell you the truth. He won't try to get you to give in his offering, smile at him. So anyway, when this silver-haired prophet, I've been reading Amos, part of the faith. I've been reading Zechariah and Zephaniah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. The weeping prophet. Been reading Jesus and James and John. And this guy said, come back tonight. Everyone will receive a word from the Lord. Flag. Everybody in the building. In other words, that's a promise to get people back to the building. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Can you say amen? Everybody in the building. Yeah. He might as well said, and please bring your pocketbook, not your Bible. Don't worry about bringing the Bible, because I'm going to give you the word. Just bring your pocketbook. Do not forget your pocketbook. And he said, I'm going to prophesy over everyone. That makes sure we're going to come to get the prophecy. And then the yellow flag came up first, and then the red flag came up. And he said, and no one is going to get a bad or negative prophecy. Well, I knew some of those folks in that church. I'd been going there long enough to know some of them. And the reason they wouldn't have come back, they're afraid if he's a real prophet, he's going to expose their sin and ask them to repent and get right. Amen? Yeah, you don't want really. See, these people that just prophesy how much money you're going to make and how God's going to send you into world evangelism and how you're going to be the greatest singer that ever hit Nashville and you're going to be rich and famous as a preacher. Yeah, right. Yeah. People line up to get it, and it's all going to be good. But when a true prophet comes, it's not about good. It's not about bad. They come with no agenda except to speak what he said. Can you say, man? And when the Church of Jesus Christ don't want to hear what he said, pastors need to hunt another pulpit and another people, because they're locked into immaturity. They can't discern good from evil. They'll run across town to stand in a line and get prophesied over when they will not take the time to sit down in a Bible study and learn the truth. And you can't count on them for nothing. They're unstable. Amen. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Some people have quit you over doctrine. Some people have quit us over doctrine. Honey, I'm going to tell you, if they don't want to hear the truth, it's good they quit us, because I'm not going to quit preaching it to fill these seats on Sunday morning. I'm way past that. Can you say amen? I love them. I want them to be part of the body of Christ here. But I'm not going to chase someone that don't want to be here because they're listening to somebody that's not telling the truth, and they're too proud to admit it when they're faced with it in the Bible. And you know how I know they're immature, Ruth? They will not come to me and communicate with me. The Bible said if you got aught against your brother, what does it say to do? Go to somebody else and tell them on that person. No, go to that person and let it be between you and that person alone. That's what the Bible teaches. So immediately, there's spiritual immaturity. Because they've never come to me yet. But they have went to other folks. But they haven't come to me. And what's the Bible say? They're packing a Bible, you understand. They're talking about truth and error, you understand. And they're not walking in the simple, fundamental truth of going to the person you have a problem with, not to everybody else. And not quitting each other until you at least communicate. Said if there's something wrong with somebody, go to him, let it be between him and thee. And if he hear thee, guess what? You don't have to run off. You've won your brother. You've restored fellowship if he listened to you. Had a lady come to the door. She had been real mean to us and ugly. Been about 5 years since she'd been real mean and ugly. I had forgiven her because I can't carry that in my heart. I can't carry unforgiveness. I just went ahead and did it. Well, did she ask you? No, she didn't have to ask me. The Bible said anyway, just go on past that. I'm going to get to the chase. We're almost done. Some of you are swarming and sweating, the air's on. So we're going to get to the chase. She came to church. I was downstairs working in the basement. She came and knocked on the door. I opened the door. And she said, Brother Venable. What is it? What's wrong, man? She said, I just want you to know. I'm not mocking her. I'm just saying this is how immaturity looks and works. If I've ever done anything, if this is your attempt at an apology, forget the rest of it. If you don't know what you did, what on earth are you apologizing for? She tried to get guilt off of her. It ain't helping me and it ain't helping her because she's not, can I say it about a woman? She's not man enough.
Come on, man up.
Woman up. The last part of your name, women, man. So man up. Quit you like men and be strong. If you did something wrong, you know it was wrong, then look me in the eye and say, I was wrong. Oh, wait. We don't want to go that far in our apology. Because then we have to swallow our pride. And we do not want to swallow our pride while we're apologizing. If I have done anything wrong, if I have wronged you in any way, I am asking you to forgive me. You know, I couldn't accept that right there. I said, I forgave you years ago. I couldn't go on with any kind of ought in my heart. But I forgive you. Whatever it was, it's been so long, I can't even remember what it was. And I said, and obviously you are not going to tell me what it was. At one time I knew what it was. But I really took that to the shed. Anybody got a shed out back that you put stuff in? I took that to the shed. I got a lock on the door to my shed. Amen. But this spiritual shed, I got a lock on that door too. Because if we want to talk about people done us wrong, what they said and what they did, I could unlock that shed and it's full. I may have to get another shed longer I live. Can you say, man? It's full. It's full to the ceiling. I don't want all that stuff out again. That's why I put it in the shed. Can you say, man, it's in the shed. It's in the shed. I like what one woman said. She came with one of these mealy mouth forgivenesses. And if you're waiting for someone to come, no, do it for Jesus' sake and do it here and do it now. Let God give you peace. Let God give you joy. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. Anybody see Frozen with your grandchildren? I've seen it so much I don't want to see it anymore. My granddaughter Savannah, she learned every song in it and sings it over and over and over. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. It won an Academy Award. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I thought you the ice princess living up on top of a mountain in the cold. Why don't you let it go? I didn't get the whole movie. I just lost me somewhere. Of course, I don't get a lot of things. So the lady came to her after several years and said, do you remember back when I did this and I said that? And the lady looked back at her and said, no, I distinctly remember forgiving and forgetting that. That's what I remember about that. In other words, you're not being forgiven when you finally show up, because, tell you the honest truth, they may not ever show up. Because there's not many people with that much of God. But you got to let it go. Because if you don't let it go, guess what? You've got it. Right here and right now. And you got to let it go. Because how do you know you still got it? Because you don't have the peace of God, because that's still troubling your mind. You don't have the love of God because it's blocked by that grudge. Can you say you don't have peace flowing? You don't have love flowing? You have a hindrance to your prayers because you're not forgiving men. And if you don't forgive men, your Heavenly Father can't and won't forgive you. And no one is that sinlessly perfect. We have to have grace and mercy flow into us in order for God to answer our prayers. So we need to grow up, clean up, get in the Word of God, let the Word of God get in us, and let it get in our heart, and then let it get from our heart to our mouth, and then let it affect every part of our living for Jesus. Listen, Revelation chapter 10, is it verse 12? 12 verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in closing. That's not in here. That's me. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is the salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word, hold fast your profession of faith and the word of our testimony. Your testimony is not in this context of directly defeating the devil as an accuser. It's not, thank God, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. That is not in the context of this statement. It's your testimony concerning what you believe and you know and you're willing to say that the blood of Jesus has accomplished in your behalf. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. And it's what you believe about the finished work of Christ and the power of His blood. You can plead, therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ, because that is the word of your testimony to defeat the accuser. You cannot plea sinless perfection, but you can plea pardon and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. and the devotion, when you realize and you're beginning to confess what God says concerning you, now that Christ has bled for you, you love Him for loving you enough to stay on that cross. And you love, you begin to fall in love with Him, and the devotion comes. Not the emotion, but the true devotion. And you love not your life, even unto the death. And the death begins, not when you're necessarily martyred, but when you decide to follow Him with true devotion. You deny yourself. Abolish self. Death to self. Amen. Get yourself out of the way. What's bugging you right now won't bug you tonight. Because forgiveness will be granted, and you won't think what they done to me. You'll leave here thinking what He's done for me. If I thought about what they done to me, I would have quit preaching a long time ago. But when I think about what He's done for me, I ain't no ways tired. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I want to keep on preaching, keep on teaching, and I want to see some fire. Because without the fire, listen, the Logos, it's holy words, but it's on the page. The Bible's a holy book, but it has to get off the page and get beyond your head and get down in your heart. And when it does, it's no longer the Logos. It's the Rhema. You see it. You know it for yourself. And you're able to say what God said. Hallelujah. And this is the last thing I'm going to leave you with. Next to the last. His word in your mouth. His word in your mouth has no less authority than His word in His mouth. Because it's His word. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. No, no, no. He said it. Forever thy word is what? Settled in heaven. He said it. That settles it. And I choose to believe it. Can you say amen? And now it's not only settled in heaven, Brother Taylor. It's settled in me. Woo! The word of my testimony is what He has said concerning me. Not what you say, not what others say, but what He said. It transcends my conscience. It cancels my guilt. When I go before God and I'm truly forgiven, I come out of there clean as I'll ever be. For the blood of Jesus washes away every stain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It sprinkles us from an evil conscience. That means all those memories of what we were and what we did in the past, and I'm talking about not just 20 years ago, I'm talking about yesterday too. Can you say amen? If it's true repentance, you've got a brand new beginning today. And the accuser cannot keep you from God's blessing. All right. Have you got anything out of this today? We began talking about pleading the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And what happens when we plead the blood and proclaim the word of our testimony, we plead the blood and proclaim the word of God, then God is able to confirm that word in our behalf. God is able. God is able. God is able. And I want to leave you with that today. Whatever you're facing, God is able to forgive the darkest sin of your life and cleanse you from it. And God is able not only to forgive your sin, He's able to keep you from the evil one. Amen. He's able to give you victory, so that you don't live a slave of Satan, but a servant of Jesus Christ. There's victory in Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it may begin right here today. Praise God. How many are glad God loved you enough to give His Son for you? How many are so glad that Jesus loved you enough to stay on that cross? How many are glad that God has given us His Word and it has survived to the 20th first century. Amen. And how many are glad for the message it gives us that there's hope for everybody in this room? Can you say amen? There's revival for the church of Jesus Christ. There's salvation for your hard-headed, hard-hearted friends and family members. Can you say amen? Because we can plead the blood of Jesus, proclaim the word of God. How many know this is strong meat? You know how I know it's strong? Because some of you are still chewing it. Oh, that's gum. I'm sorry, Sean. Amen. He spit the gum out. He's still going to be chewing. We'll still be chewing. We're all chewing on this. But that's good. That's how you digest meat. You don't bolt it down. You chew it and get all the juice out of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Listen, we're going to be chewing on some of these truths till Jesus comes. You don't gulp this down. You chew it a while. Go home and chew on it. Hallelujah. And come back and realize that you're growing up and you're growing strong. And then he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to what he's invested in us, the power that is in us here and now, today, in this holy moment. Praise God. Let's give him praise before we leave. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.